Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
908 on KDXU. Good morning. I'm Andy Griffin. Thank you for tuning into the program this morning. It is Mayor Thursday, and of course I have a mayor here. His name is Chris Staley. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Doing well. Good morning, Andy.
Not Chris Daly, but Chris Staley. Chris.
And I still get that, even recently.
Know. Really? Chris Daly, huh? Well, I'm glad you're Chris Staley. That's a unique name. Anybody that doesn't know Mayor Staley, it's K-R-E-S-S is his first name. And you told me once the origin of that, but I don't remember, so maybe you can refresh me here.
Chris. Yeah, so I have a great-grandfather named Lamon Cresson Woods.
Cresson.
And I am the fourth of I'm the fourth of all boys. My three older brothers all have names that start with K.
Okay.
So my mother took Cresson that started with a C, dropped the O-N, and it became Cress.
Yes. So it's a unique name.
And I am constantly explaining how to pronounce it. If it doesn't matter, I don't correct people.
Wait a minute. How to pronounce it? If people see it written down, it's pretty obvious pronunciation.
Well, if they see it, yes. Yeah. But if they hear it, they sometimes will just correct me and call me Chris, and
they'll,
if it doesn't matter,
you on your own name.
I don't even bother. You know, I'm like, okay. If it matters, I'll just, you know, subtly say it's Chris.
No big deal, yeah. I actually have a story on our website about mispronounced words. Mispronounced words out there. And I purposely did this. So there are towns all over the world, all over the country, and in southern Utah that the word spell doesn't look like the way they say it. For instance, people don't know this. I hear a lot of people call it Parowan. It's actually Parowan. Parowan.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask anybody that lives there, it's Parowan. But everybody says Parowan. Even here in St. George, we're only 60, 70 miles from there. Leverkin is not Leverkin. It's Leverkin. There's a little in there. Hurricane instead of hurricane, right?
Right.
But I purposely in the article said, you know what, if you want to call your town whatever, however you want to say it, it's your town. That's fine. If you guys said Washington or something, that whatever.
Well, a lot of old timers will actually call it Washington.
Washington.
That's kind of that old southern accent. I don't know how that's southern, but some of the old timers still have a little R in there, although it's not phonetically correct.
There is St. George people, too.
Same draw.
Yeah. Same with names. I remember one time, you know, and I've been doing sports a long time on the radio. I remember one time doing a ball game, and during the game, the mom was listening on the radio, and apparently her son, whose first name was J-O-N-E-S, Jones, right?
Sure.
She goes, his name isn't Jones. I'm like, you know, I'm during a commercial break, and I'm like, it's not Jones. It's spelled Jones. She goes, no, it's Jonas.
Okay.
And I said, but it's J-O-N-E-S. That's Jones. Every time I've ever seen that in my whole life, it's Jones. She goes, yeah, but we say Jonas. And so I'm like, okay, it's your name. Say however you want. But there are words, Chris, that that are incorrectly said around the world. For instance, mischievous. It's mischievous, not mischievous.
Okay.
Okay.
Mischievous.
I had a conversation with a listener the other day about the word recognize. It's, you don't, the G is not silent in that word. It's not recognize. It's recognize,
okay.
Right? A couple of others. This one I have a problem with because I say it wrong. It's February, not February.
Mm.
Yeah, that R is in there, but we like to leave it out. I've never heard anybody actually say hyperbole, but you know that word hyperbole?
Mm-hmm.
It's actually spelled hyperbole, but I've never heard anybody say it except in jest. So, but that's one of them. A couple of others. Library, not library. Epitome, not epitome. Zoology, not zoology.
Okay, see, I would have gotten that one wrong.
Yeah,
I've always said zoology.
It is zoology, technically.
Good to know.
C-A-C-H-E is cash, not cachet. And colonel, C-O-L-O-N-E-L, looks like colonel or something like that.
Yes.
It's colonel, and we all know that. So, anyway, yeah, just a quick, 101 class on
saying words
correctly. So, but like I said, as far as towns and names, it's your town, it's your name. You can say it however you want to say it. That's your prerogative. That's one of the things I kind of learned in doing radio all these years is it may look like something else, but if they want to say it a certain way, let them, you know. So, Chris Staley is here. His name is K-R-E-S-S, Chris. His last name is spelled like Staheely.
Yes.
And when I was first in town, this would have been 1993, I think. I actually corrected one of my partners on the air. He said,
"Staley." Was that Mike McGarry?
Well, maybe. it was a long time ago. And I said, is that Staley or is that Staheely? And he goes, no, it's Staley, because he'd lived here a long time and I hadn't yet. I was brand new to the area. So, but there seemed like there's always been a Staley on one of the sports teams in one of the high schools these years.
You know, my daughter plays high school softball for Crimson. And my cousin's daughter plays for Snow Canyon. There's a Staley girl for Dixie. There's a girl for Enterprise. We were kind of counting up how many of these, you know, Swiss descendants, you know, with that same spelling and pronunciation were playing within one softball tournament recently. And I think we got to like five or six. There might have been a girl out of Payson as well. But not very common around the world, but quite common in southern Utah and in Switzerland.
Well, you know what's funny? When I finally got to know that name and how to pronounce it correctly, Staley, I started working with a guy whose name was Staley, Staley. And I was like, hey, dude, your name's spelled wrong. He's like, he's from northern Utah. And he said, I didn't know. I've never even heard of the other way to spell it until I moved here.
So that's the English spelling.
Yeah.
Okay. And so there's
British descent. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But, you know, it's interesting. We were in Switzerland a few years ago, and the name is very common there. It was quite interesting to see that in different towns we came across.
So not necessarily all related. It's just a common name.
I'm not sure exactly. I think it's something from like steel workers or something like that. Probably a little bit like a smith in England, you know.
Like blacksmith.
That kind of Swiss German.
Smith or Smithson. Yeah, that makes sense. I understand that. Well, Mayor Staley, of course, with Washington City. And by the way, it was Mayor Staley's birthday yesterday.
I was trying to remain low-key.
I know, everyone was like, why are we talking about this? But when you hit 50, it was a big one. You didn't just turn, 46 or something. 5-0 is a big one. I remember, I'm 59 now, so for me it was a little less than a decade ago I turned 50. But I remember it caused a few thoughts about life and, what have I done in my 50 years? Yeah. What have I done with my life? One of those introspective moments. And I think Gil's at the door right now. I think Gil Almquist is going to join us for a minute, right?
Yes, yes.
So, but let's continue on the birthday talk before Gil gets in here. Have you had one of those moments? Turn 50? Have you gone, what have I done with my 50 years?
So jokingly, I said, 50 is the new 30. And so that's what I'm going with in my head, is that I'm still young between the ears. But I did actually kind of have a bit of a moment. I don't want to get too kind of, sentimental.
No, it's okay. Sentimental's good.
But I was considering that my father lived 49 years.
Oh, really?
And so now for me turning 50, I feel in a way that I'm kind of in bonus time. And so I'm really appreciating just the preciousness of each of those moments that life gives. And so I'm really kind of have this renewed just commitment to make the most of it. I don't know. I don't want to get too
You're in overtime now, huh?
I'm in overtime, and I'm just making the most of it. And who knows?
You know what's funny about overtime? So if you're not a sports fan, like my wife is not a sports fan, and every time she sees a game go to overtime, she's like, oh, no, 5 more minutes or 10 more minutes or whatever. But if you're a sports fan like we are, Chris, overtime is like the ultimate. That's, wow, we're tied going into it, and bonus basketball or football or baseball, whatever it is. That's so awesome. And here you are in overtime.
Well, and in overtime, I think you feel a different kind of urgency to make the most of the limited time. I mean, is it a 3-minute? Is it a 5-minute? Everything counts. So I love that. That's kind of what's on my mind right now. And, our youngest is 17. She's heading up, to BYU in a few months. And I'm not sure what that's going to look like. I mean, obviously my wife and I, we have a great relationship, but we're used to running around chasing the family.
It's true. And that has been an adjustment for my wife and I in the last year and a half or 2 years, that all of a sudden you don't have recitals and ball games and all these things that you used to go to because your kids are off living their own lives now as adults. And it's a weird thing. It is a good thing, though. I mean, I miss the ball games and stuff, but it's also nice to go, hey, honey, what do we got on the calendar tonight? And she'll look at her calendar, nothing. I'm like, she'll like, what do you got? I'm like, nothing. Let's do nothing tonight, you know?
Yeah.
Just so it's kind of nice. So
yeah.
You look back now at your life in Washington City, and I know you are a huge advocate of the city of which you are mayor, and what it is, the heart of Washington City. Has the city, how it has changed, obviously. How has it changed during your lifetime?
No, it's so, I mean, I don't think it's really a stretch for me to say that just from kind of my childhood and upbringing, I was literally raised by the residents of Washington City. I just kind of floated around my neighborhood and around kind of the neighborhood uptown. And some of my fondest memories in Washington, and again, growing up, we're talking 3,000 residents.
Yeah.
So, you know, eating at the burger place. Yeah. I mean, you know, one of the things that makes Washington unique is that it was settled there at the base of, you know, essentially the Red Cliffs and Pine Valley. There are these constant running springs of water. Yeah. And you had these beautiful basalt rock ditches with constant flowing water. And so we would just, you know, in the summer, you know, we roll up your pants and walk barefoot up the mossy ditch, you know, and flow things down. I mean, it was just a real, I mean, it was kind of an idyllic environment. And so many good people, just families and just kind of pillars of the community. And I say it like this, is now we've been discovered. So if you take, you know, I graduated from Pine View High School in 1993, just over 30 years ago. We had around 3,000 to 4,000 residents. Well, each of the last three decades or 10-year periods, we have doubled in population. So now we're pushing or exceeding 40,000 residents.
Wow.
And so the challenge that I have, kind of the bridge that I'm trying to make, is maintaining that small town charm and that identity while we welcome and integrate all of these great people who want to be a part of this community. And so that's really, I think, kind of the underlying motive and the why. And you have a town that raised you and something that's special, that's meaningful to you, and you want to share that and continue that on for future, you know, future generations.
Absolutely, yeah. I talked to McCray Hepler, was on the show yesterday, and he grew up in St. George, right? Mm-hmm. In St. George. And I said, McCray, the town, I mean, 109,000 now in St. George. I said, the town has obviously changed. Do you feel that? And he said, you know, I feel the growth, but I also feel like it's still the same. It's still St. George. It's still, you know, I'm still the St. George kid, and it's still the same place.
And if you don't believe it, just drive diagonal. I mean, yeah. I drove diagonal this morning, and every time I drive up, I think of friends and people, and just, I mean, it's just one of those things that, I mean, there are a number of other streets and places within the community, but that's one of those special streets.
And then if you stop believing that it's changed and grown a lot, though, do you go out to the fields in Washington or go out to South River Road in St. George or Desert Color, I don't think there was anything there 30 years ago.
Well, and you talk about the fields, I mean, you know, we didn't have a rec center. We didn't have, you know, we had an old city pool. If you remember the racquetball courts up by the cemetery.
But
in the summer, we had better than an outdoor pool. We had the open ditch canal.
That's right.
I mean, we were floating this on inflated tractor tubes, and we didn't know how good we had it. And, you know, floating around Schnapkeib and seeing those alfalfa fields that were flood irrigated by that canal. And then the real key was to make sure you got out before you hit the family's feedlot where the cows were. I mean, the water, you know, they drank out of it there, but they did other things too. So you wanted to make sure you got out of it there.
I got to get out now. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Hey, Gil, do you want to grab a microphone here and come chat with us for a second? Gil Almquist, Washington County Commissioner, is with us. And, we're going to put him on mic, too, and turn that thing up. Let Gil talk. Hi, Gil. How you doing, man?
Good morning.
Appreciate you coming by.
I appreciate Mayor Staley so much.
Chris Staley was like, I don't want Gil dudes coming. I don't know why, but he didn't say it. He actually was very kind in his words about you. So
we were talking about all the great events that are coming up, and Chris said, like I often say, well, help me to know the dates. And I didn't want to cram it into his head, and he said, why don't you bring your head?
Yeah, because they're already in your head, right?
Yeah.
So, in fact, you know, kind of in relation to what you're talking about, I have over here, I'm going to be giving away some tickets to the Patriotic Concert, the Lee Greenwood Concert, and the Pageant. Tell us Tell us about the pageant. That's kind of first and foremost.
When we first thought of the pageant, all of us were kind of saying, well, how can we celebrate for the community, involve the community? And we thought of maybe having some sort of reenactment. And therefore, we are celebrating to the very day the shot heard round the world, where those Minutemen were gathered together last minute and to defend their cache of weapons and that the British were coming to get. And the whole story of how are the British coming? Well, one if by land, two if by sea. So Sam Payne, renowned playwright, renowned artist, wonderful musician.
And singer.
We contacted him and he said, I would love to write this pageant.
Wow.
So we invested in him and in his ideas. But primarily to focus on the history of Washington, the founding of our country, and how that all started. And we thought, what better place than at the fair? And I know Mayor Staley has things planned as well. But do you want a couple of dates?
Yeah, let's do it, yeah. Like I said, I'm going to be giving away stuff. I think I'll probably start tomorrow and then Monday, because a lot of the concert stuff is early in the week. Like, I think Lee Greenwood is that Monday night, Wednesday night?
It's right there on that second page.
He wants me to look. I didn't want to look. I was hoping it was in your head.
The Lee Greenwood one is not in my head, but I can tell you we saw the initial mock-up of this pageant. And I can tell you, this is the kind of thing, if somebody says, oh, that was great, what, I missed it? There's so many things I've said to myself, well, how did I miss that? I can tell what the residents of Washington County and those who are coming to the fair that you'll be walking away saying, why did I miss that? And so the dates are April the 17th and 18th at 8 o'clock at night.
That's Thursday and Friday next week.
Uh-huh. And there'll be horses and choirs and reenactors and all kinds of amazing music, as well as performance, and the scenery is going to be fantastic. I would hope everyone would get excited about that.
Now, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Gil, the actual fair starts tomorrow, correct?
Uh-huh.
And then Saturday morning, there is a fair parade downtown St. George. They kind of merge into that right after the parade. They're having the Art Around Corner thing where you can meet the artists and get some refreshments and stuff like that. And then you can head out to the fair and have a good time. And that'll be going on all starting tomorrow all the way through next Saturday. And then, as you mentioned, Thursday and Friday, the pageant.
Yes.
America 250, is that what it's called?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And right alongside of that will be the Live Village, which is a colonial village. The actual person that plays George Washington back east at either Vernon or at Williamsburg, I don't know, but he will be here.
Oh, nice.
And so if kids say, well, I met George Washington, you can say, I sure did.
Does he have wooden teeth? I'm just wondering. I'm just kidding.
Nice thing about the entire pageant and for people here is that we have something to celebrate. And with Washington City and all of their efforts on the 21st, which I'm sure, Mayor, you'll mention, I'm so excited to be an American.
Yeah. It's America's county, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Again, I wanted to mention, so there's a military tribute concert featuring Nathan Pacheco.
Uh-huh.
That is early in the week. That is actually on Tuesday night. I have tickets. Now, don't call now, folks, because I'm not giving away yet. We're going to start tomorrow giving these away. I have Lee Greenwood tickets. That is Wednesday night. And then I have tickets to both nights of the Freedom, the America 250 Freedom Pageant. We appreciate Aaron E. here and the folks at the Washington County Fair that it facilitated us giving away some tickets. That's going to be fun.
It's easy to get tickets.
I will say this, Lone Star, we didn't get Lone Star tickets. Lone Star is in concert Monday night, and there's a reason we didn't get tickets. They're very popular. Very popular. In fact, I went and bought some tickets myself because take my sweetheart and go watch Lone Star.
For all of them, it's simple. It's washcofair.net.
Washcofair.net.
Just scroll down, and you'll see all of the ticket opportunities. Washcofair.net.
Very good. All right. Well, Gil, thanks for coming by. Appreciate you stopping in.
I'm glad to be here. Love the mayor and all he's doing. I'll sign off.
Nice.
Thank you for some time.
Good to see you, Commissioner.
Bill Onquist. Well, I actually have. Are you on this month? Is it your turn when the commissioner comes on?
You and I met a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, so it won't be you. So, it'll be maybe Victor or Adam. Right. I don't remember whose turn it is. But all right, we'll talk with one of the commissioners coming up soon. Thank you, Gil. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good day.
We're on with Mayor Crest Staley. That was Gil Almquist. And again, starting tomorrow, I'm going to start giving away some of those tickets. So I don't want to get people thank you, Gil. Appreciate it. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. But you also have an event coming up soon, right? The Cotton Days?
Cotton Days is right around the corner.
Yeah.
So it's the week following the fair.
Wow. It's a busy time. You know, the thing about that I think we finally got right. Now, you guys got it right a long time ago, but moving the fair to the spring instead of that late summer, early fall when it's 110 degrees was a brilliant move, I think. And even though you don't get a lot of the harvest stuff that you normally get with a lot of fairs,
yeah,
I think it's worth it. It's okay because they were, you know, attendance was suffering. People were, it wasn't really I mean, the only pleasant time was when you were inside the buildings that had air conditioning at the county fair. So yeah, a lot of cool stuff coming up with the fair. And then Cotton Days right after that what's the date on Cotton Days?
So Cotton Days is April 21st and then the 25th through the 27th. Now historically, we celebrated Cotton Days the first week in May. Because that was when the first settlers arrived, the Adair Company in 1857. But when Iron Man came in, we moved it to the last week in April, and then the county moved the fair. So we got a little bit of the squeeze between the county fair and Iron Man. But Iron Man, you know, for it's sunsetting after this year.
This is the last one, yeah.
For
Does that mean Cotton Days will move, do you think?
I think the committee will likely choose to move it back to the first week in April because that's kind of the historic first week in May, yeah. Because celebrates the city's birthday, and that birthday is the settling of the arrival of that Adair Company that came through the Grapevine Pass and settled next to the springs in Washington. So
nice.
That's likely to happen.
All right, got to get a commercial break in and the check of weather. I'm on with Mayor Crest Staley today. We'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back to the Andy Griffin Show. Crest Staley, mayor of Washington City, is with me today. Not Chris Staley, Crest Staley. Crest, thanks for coming in today. I wanted to ask a couple of serious topics about some of the points that you're worried about in the city. I had Mayor Randall on last month talking about some of the choke points, a traffic problem, a place where a lot of accidents happen, where there's a lot of backups. So I'll ask you, are there a couple of those? And then has the new Main Street interchange, has that helped to alleviate some of those problems?
Yeah, really good question. So let me start with the Main Street interchange. The traffic engineers told us that the Main Street interchange, which is we thought was going to be exit 11, ended up being exit 12,
yeah.
would alleviate that congestion on Green Spring and Telegraph. And to some extent, it has. What we were surprised about is we are getting more traffic on Main Street than we anticipated.
Oh, really?
So it is being used. And, of course, this time of year, you've got a lot of people coming down to visit and, you know, enjoy the weather and, get out of the cold up north. But Main Street exit is being used. It's helping. One thing that I also another road that I see being used working very well is that Buena Vista Boulevard that parallels I-15 on the north. And so you go all the way from Washington Parkway, which is exit 13, right, through 12, which is Main Street, all the way to 10, which is Green Spring. That frontage road is just doing remarkably well, and it's really kind of exciting because it's becoming a commercial that I-15 corridor for like a lot of commercial growth, which is a great spot because it doesn't impact too many neighbors, but allows the goods and services. So that's one area. So that's the one area that it's working well. I think the one area where we are having some issues that we're very well aware of is on Washington Fields Road. Now for years, you know, we had, like you alluded to earlier, it was just a farming community. And so, you know, these were pothole roads and, you know, you know, homes were there were distance between them. But now we have a lot of really nice neighborhoods down there and more traffic. So we've recently added additional traffic signals. Mm-hmm. But one area where we have done a warrant study and where we will fund in this budget and build within the next year or so is on Washington Fields Road, and where Lost Ridge and Merrill kind of intersect into Washington Fields Road. We've had a few accidents there, and it's just with the uptick of traffic. So that's kind of been a pain point that I can point to that, yeah, we're going to do it. We're going to add a light there.
Well, and this isn't in the fields, but if you were talking a minute ago about Buena Vista and Main Street, and boy, when Winco does finally go vertical, as McCray Hepler likes
yes.
to say, when it is finally built, that's going to change the whole dynamic of that area as well. Do you anticipate some lights being put in eventually on that Main Street interchange?
So it's possible on the north side of Main and Buena Vista, there's a light already there.
Right, right.
And so I'd have to look back to the master transportation plan to see if one's planned or anticipated on the south side of I-15. But you're right. That's a total game changer. That's a regional draw that will bring people.
Say, it's not just a grocery store, you know, and no offense to our Albertsons and Smiths and places like that. But Winco, in a lot of ways, is a destination grocery store where
exactly.
you go specifically because it's Winco.
Yes. So we think that's going to be a regional draw. And then along that Buena Vista, you know, down by the boilers, there's some entitlements that are coming forward for different commercial pads.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, if you continue kind of northeast along I-15 on the 13 of Washington Parkway, there's just a ton of untapped potential there. And we see it unfolding kind of gradually with that, you know, Siena Hills Auto Mall, with Findlay Hyundai already there. You know, these things are happening.
You mentioned that Main Street is maybe getting a little more traffic than you thought. Is it people headed into Washington, you know, down Main Street, or is it people going the other direction and then jumping on Buena Vista?
So I took it the other direction okay. this morning because I had to stop by City Hall and sign a contract that was approved last night.
Okay.
But what I see is more people coming south, dropping off I-15 into Washington on Main Street.
So they'll go hit Telegraph and then go left or right and mm-hmm. go wherever it is that their destination
and
is.
I'm seeing probably more left-hand turns there onto Telegraph
okay.
because a lot of the commuters are heading home to the Washington Fields. So at some point, our master transportation plan anticipates Main Street extending further south
mm-hmm.
and then veering east and tying in over to 100 or something. Which, you know, having people come down Main and being able to head straight through the light rather than a left-hand turn
right.
is, you know, it moves traffic much better. And then I was just reading the minutes from staff meeting that occurred on Tuesday morning, and we are also anticipating some dedicated left-hand turn signals at some of our lights as we continue okay. to kind of grow into some of this traffic.
If you're not super familiar with that area, Main Street goes down, and then it kind of turns into, on the other side of Telegraph, a bit of a residential street.
Exactly.
And so the idea, I guess, of you saying maybe jogging it over to 100 would be to, because 100 goes all the way through to the dog pound area
mm-hmm.
and the industrial area.
Exactly.
And that might be the way to go. I know you guys actually talked about this before, well, long years ago, before Main Street Interchange came through. What are we going to do with the traffic that comes through there? And now it's a reality. Now you're starting to go, okay, it's time to deal with it and do something with it.
You know, and it's hard. Change is hard. The you know, of course, the Main Street design is great and the progress we're making on our downtown. If you go north, you know, Solente is building a really nice master plan community that borders the Red Cliff Desert Reserve. They will have a bit of a downtown component to their community.
Oh.
But it pairs really nicely with what we're trying to do with our downtown. In fact, we've talked about this on your show before, Andy, but that RFQ/RFP
yeah.
for a partner with our downtown parcels, that was approved by the council. And so that was sent out, made open as of April 1st, and it will be open for about 3 months. So we're thinking that, you know, if we do have some of that increased traffic, that could help activate our downtown with some of the partners that we're considering moving forward with on some of the, you know, reigniting you know, historically we've had businesses downtown. Right. And so this is not something new, but to reintroduce commerce and housing and some density into our downtown really breathes that life as it gets activated by some of that traffic. And we also want to calm and slow that traffic because we want downtowns to be walkable.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. I learned yesterday, and this isn't Washington City, but I didn't learn it yesterday, but I was reminded yesterday that Tech Ridge was an RFQ. It was basically St. George said, we have all this old airport area. We want some proposals as to what to do with it. And that's when Tech Ridge kind of came in and said, we have all these fantastic ideas. And we can see right now it's in progress. It has really turned into something special.
Well, and it's a really good process. And St. George has done a lot of things right with Tech Ridge. And they've actually used a similar process with some of the areas on St. George Boulevard, and they have been very gracious. We learn a lot from our neighbors and friends in St. George, but you heard me use two acronyms. I called it RFQ, which is request for qualifications, and RFP, which is a request for proposals. Now, what we want is we want to assemble the right team, the right architect, the right builder, the right developer, essentially, and the right proposal. So this is kind of the RFQ / RFP, and this will be a collaborative effort. But ultimately, cities aren't in the development business, only in the entitlement business.
Right.
We will transition that development part to go vertical to the developers and those in the private sector.
Nice. And that includes the city now owns the church building.
That's correct. And that will stay civic. And what's that was hard for many locals to swallow, but
sure. The people that have been going to that church for 40, 50, 60 years.
Yes, my childhood. But the church approached us. It was time because of the parking arrangement. We will be good stewards of that building. The use will change, but we will preserve and maintain that building to the extent that, you know, that we're not tearing the building down. We're going to repurpose the building for civic use.
I was going to say, I think a lot of people maybe thought that the city would buy it and tear it down. That is not happening. The building is going to stay up and be reconfigured a little bit.
Absolutely. It's our duty to do that. It's part of our heritage. So we feel a duty to do that. But across the street, the whole Nyssen block.
You read my mind. I was going to say, does the city own that yet?
We that was part of the same transaction.
Okay.
So that's an entire block that's a blank canvas. And then kitty corner from that where Nyssen's hardware and right. Quentin and Gwenna's home was, and then the Cuba Lyle where the telegraph towers were, that whole front edge on from Main to 100 East on Telegraph, that is also. So there are two really nice sized parcels. I want to say 7+ acres that now are a canvas for this team of qualified individuals or group and the proposal that we'll design together.
Nice.
And so that's gonna be an important part of what we need a downtown that matches these amazing neighborhoods and communities throughout Washington. And it's hard to do because states don't give very much money to cities to do things that aren't core services. And rightfully so. I mean, we spend 80 to 90% of our general fund budget on public safety. That's how it should be.
Right.
But when we can scrap together a little bit of funding and help facilitate a project, that's what we've been doing here.
Just to be clear, the old Nyssen grocery store, it will be torn down?
Yeah, you know, I actually toured it. Shelly had the key. And so I said, hey, let me in here, Shelly. And so we walked and, you know, somebody may take it down and be able to reuse the metal elsewhere. But our vision for that block and those blocks that I just referred to is much larger than an old metal building.
Yeah.
I mean, we want to do this the right way. And frankly, the community deserves a downtown that is done the right way with intentionality and thought and a good team put together. And so we're really excited about the prospect of building something special that again, like we talked to at the first of this show, maintains the charm and the character of Washington, but also allows us to, you know, to grow and evolve like all living things should. Even 50-year-olds.
Yeah, even 50-year-olds like both of us. I'm a little more than just 50, but yeah. Okay, so, well, let's get a commercial break in, and when we come back, I want to talk more about the development of Washington City and maybe a couple of areas that the mayor is concerned about as far as traffic and even crime a little bit.
Okay.
When we come back.
Fair enough.
We'll be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
Welcome back. We're talking Washington City stuff right now. Cotton Days is coming up April 21st. Also, kind of in association with that, tell us what's happening also on April 21st.
Oh, yeah, cool. So we're having a ribbon cutting for the George Washington Plaza.
Okay.
And we're unveiling this really cool statue. It's between 6 and 7 feet tall of George Washington.
Really? Bigger than life, George Washington.
And he is certainly larger than life.
Yeah.
Now it's interesting, when the Red Cliffs Temple was announced, the city of St. George and Washington collaborated on a reconfiguration of what was our 3650 South and their 1450 South. So we curved that and connected that in front of the Red Cliffs Temple, but there was a triangular remnant piece that still had utilities running through it, so it was kind of useless for anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So we got the idea to turn this into a plaza, and St. George and the county contributed on this statue. Washington is primarily funding, but also the county is funding some of the elements of this plaza. But it's really cool. So if you go down and you look at it, you've got this pedestal for George Washington. You've got the columns behind it,
nice.
Rose bushes, cherry trees that we're going to baby along.
Might I suggest you put Shelley in charge of the rose bushes because she's really good at that.
I mean, if she's willing, we would love that.
Okay.
On the back side, on the back side, Mount Vernon gates.
Oh,
we even did those, kind of those red bricks. And then we have pavers because this George Washington Plaza is a bit of a canvas for not only, Washington City named after George Washington, kind of the center of our county, George Washington Boulevard, the new name of the street, but also it has some pathways for us to tell the story of the Washington Fields, the farming and agricultural heritage as some of these farms turn into neighborhoods.
Yeah.
We want to continue to tell the proud history of our farming heritage. And so we will build those, we will piece those together, but the unveiling is the statue. And April 21st, 6 p.m., we're actually closing down the road. I believe, if I remember right, Derek Brown, the Attorney General, is going to be the keynote.
Oh, wow.
It's going to kick off Washington Days. It's going Cotton Days. But it's going to be a really big, really exciting event. So come down and check it out.
April 21st.
6 p.m.
6 o'clock at night. And given the current temperature climate, it might be 90 degrees or it could be 40 degrees. We don't know.
Yeah.
My daughter, by the way, is getting married in May, and she planned an outdoor reception. And she's like, what do you think? Do you think it'll be hot or windy or rainy? Or I said, yes and no. I don't know. It could be any of those.
Yeah.
It could be on May 24th. That's a crapshoot.
Hey, well, congratulations on the wedding.
Yeah. Little Katie is getting married, my last child, to join in the blended bliss and wedded bliss or blended bliss. Either one. And but that'll be cool. Yeah, that'll be cool. She's marrying a guy from Memphis, Tennessee.
Fantastic.
So, but weirdly enough, he has no accent. You would think someone from that grew up in Tennessee, they talk like this or something. No, no accent whatsoever.
He probably wonders about our accent here.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, so we've got Cotton Days and the unveiling of the statue. Everything gets really rolling on the 21st. And then you said for Cotton Days, really all the festivities are the 25th through the 27th.
Yeah, there's a cotton ball on the evening of the 25th in our new Heritage Hall. That'll be fun.
Nice.
We're pulling out a mechanical bowl. So.
Really? Are you going to cut a rug at the cotton ball? Are you going to be out there dancing? And
I think it sounds like a pretty good date night for me and Lynette.
Now, is Lynette taller than you?
No, she's not.
She'll have to wear flats or she'll be fine.
No, she's good. Yeah, we pair well together. that next morning, they've got the 5K run. You've got the Lions Club breakfast. You've got the parade. And then the Cotton Fest all day, which is wonderful. We've kind of condensed it a little bit. But it's going to be, I think it's going to be the best Cotton Days yet. 25th and 26th, Veterans Park, cottondays.org is where you can find more of the details. We'll have a concert that Saturday night. And then Sunday night, we're going to have a devotional in the Heritage Hall, and a kind of a dedication of the renovated place. But, it's just come out and enjoy. And I mean, the Cotton Fest is fun. I mean, there's food trucks and vendors and games and just.
Do they still do the barefoot races in the park?
They do, yeah. Okay. Yeah, they do.
I'm guessing you won that once back in the day.
Back in the day, it was all business, you know. Yeah. And but it's one of those. I love these kind of hometown events. I mean, you've got Peach Days, and I love the new Dixie Days in St. George, but. You know, communities need to gather together. We need to get, you know, out of our houses, off our devices, and just come to the center of town and enjoy the festivities, listen to the music, you know, eat some food that's not too healthy for you, take a break.
Now we got 2 minutes left. I wanted to talk about the logo. You guys have a new logo. It was intended, I think, originally to be a temporary logo change, but you kind of like it.
Oh, I really like it. So for in conjunction with this America 250, the idea came from forward, the cities modify their logo temporarily to be more patriotic.
Okay.
So we took that to heart. We led out on that. And so I've actually drafted a letter that I've sent to all of the mayors of cities and towns across the state.
The whole state.
Challenging them to modify their logo to make it red, white, and blue. So now our cotton ball sits on the stripes, at least, maybe not the stars. But it's gorgeous. It brings a little color, and you know, I might just let it ride for a little while on there. I like it.
Maybe we keep that, huh? For a little while.
You know, I like the red rock burnt orange, but the red, white, and blue also, you know, captures that George Washington settling. You know, that those Dixie Southerners that were called to grow cotton in the desert. I think it goes well. We'll see how the community likes it, but I'm anxious to see the other communities. That I know the county was on to be on board, and even some of the corporations and businesses around town, we want them to kind of buy into this. Let's celebrate America's 250th birthday.
Now, you said you were writing a letter to all the other mayors in the state. How do you think that'll be received? Will it be, you know, in the junk mail and not even look at it? Will it be, we'll get to that someday? Or do you think that mayors will actually go, all right, we're going to do this?
So it will be, I have an envelope with, stationery. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if I know that.
So this isn't an email. This is a real letter.
This is old school email. It's on city letterhead. It's a digital signature in fairness. But,
okay.
But I think mayors, like, I would be able to tell which is just kind of spam and which is like a real letter. And, I would open it. I mean, I take the time to go through mail that comes through my desk, and I'm confident other mayors too. And I'm hopeful that they rise to the challenge. I mean, I thought about reaching out to the Utah League of Cities and Towns and maybe having a little breakout session in the fall annual meeting and kind of comparing and maybe a little contest on who got the best logo.
Well, it starts here at home, right? You need to get your neighbors at Hurricane and St. George to kind of jump on board.
I know Mayor Randall's on board. We talked about it a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised if Mayor Billings is too.
If you want to see the logo, by the way, several places you can go to washingtoncity.gov, right?
Isn't org.
Or it's still org, okay. Or you can go to cottondays.org and see
there you
the
go.
New logo. It's very pretty. Mayor, we're out of time.
Thanks, Andy.
Thanks
went
for
by too
in.
Fast.
Great to talk to you. Back tomorrow, open lines.